The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Of all the superlatives that apply to the UGA defense, the real challenge is one thing. It isn't. Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday, and boy, is this going to be a fun day. Full day. It's a Bar Tuesday. Dave Bar 2, he is college football major, so he'll be joining us from way out west. A little later, today's Truist reporter, Connor O'Gara, senior national columnist, Saturday Down South. I'll give you the rest of it, man. It's a full show. But Georgia's like everybody else. They have tilted towards not game-specific. You know who's getting game-specific a little bit? If you have an option team, maybe week one, certainly. But if you have an option team, you know we play Air Force every year in October. You'll put a period in, maybe. But otherwise, you're just kind of – you're not even really game – it's not opponent-specific game planning or practice work yet. Even week zero, you'll start looking at that a little bit this week. Maybe even more than a little bit. But for everybody else, you're just still out there trying to get everybody, you know, doing what they're supposed to. And so UGA, when I say all the superlatives that apply to the UGA defense, fill them in, man, from last season. Just write the roster. But there is one thing that defense isn't, and I think that is the actual challenge here. This isn't a defense overly reliant, or I'll say even led, by any one dominant individual or a distinctive pair. Opponents have as much difficulty dealing with UGA's depth on defense as any one player. And when you've got Jadeveon or Tyrann Mathieu or Will Anderson is on the other side, it's not like it's some prize for the OC or the quarterback. But at least you know where the heat is versus that bunch in Athens. It's really, really talented players. That's the first thing. Write that down if you want to. All right, Chuck's going to explain UGA's defense. Really, really talented players. It's first thing. Second thing, and a lot of them. Third thing, the coaching puts them in a spot to succeed. Don't ruin it. You get to a certain talent level. I mean, you got to do your job as coaches. Don't run out there. We're gonna run a 50. What? Yep. Been running it since I – no. Put you in a chance to succeed. Just don't gum up the works. Do you know what the number one charge I have come to believe in my life, my view has boiled down. Do you know what the number one charge for a parent is? Number one – write this down, folks. This is life rule. Don't goof up your kids. That's it. Don't have to play center field for the Phillies. Don't have to go to Harvard. Don't have to, I don't know, invent something. None of that. Just don't goof up your kids. Let them go. See, that's the number one rule. Coaching, especially when you get to that level of talent, don't screw it up. Now, when I say the depth is as difficult to deal with as any individual player, folks, believe me, it's no fun in any way dealing with a defense where you look and you go, are there stars? Absolutely there are stars, but this is not one monster parked on the defensive end. Or like, remember John Henderson and Albert Haynesworth at Tennessee? You had two first-round NFL defensive tackles. That's not fun. But dealing with depth, with stars, Jordan Davis is a star. N'Kobe Dean was a star. All of their five first-round picks, they had five first-round picks on defense. They were stars. That wasn't why the defense was successful to the level that it was historically. Yes, there were there wasn't a guy you looked at. Like, Trayvon Walker went first overall. I know about snap counts. He's supposed to have, like, 16 sacks. Part of Trayvon Walker was projection because, well, the depth. You play a defense where that really is the main focus, it's no fun. It's no fun. And it is so very different than we've got a pair of NFL bad corners. We start, like, Florida State, do you remember, when would this have been? Almost 10 years ago, Ronald Darby and P.J. Williams, you know what they were? A pair of NFL corners. That's a challenge. I got something I can play off of that if those two are clearly the best two players on the defense and I can play off of it somehow. Like Miami, we start Phillip Buchanan and Mike Rumpf. All right, if those two kids were the clear focus of the defense, but they also started Ed Reed, D.J. Williams, Jonathan Vilma, Vince Wilfork. All right, see, that's different. But if it was just, we got a pair of just trash-talking, street-balling corners, be careful with that football. I can work something off of that. Remember Greg Ellis and Vonnie Holiday at North Carolina? That was a challenge. I can work something off of it if those two guys, Hutchinson and Ajabo from last season, as great as one or even two can be, there is an angle, a way to at least mitigate their I'm couching this in all kinds of phrases, folks, because I'm talking about great players and then how you succeed against great players. There's a way to mitigate their production on a Saturday if those two studs are the overwhelming focus of the defensive production. Georgia lost all the players we know they lost. I say their defense profiles the same to me. Now, not 9 points per game. It doesn't profile that way. I'm saying I think it will look a lot this season like it did in 2021, as in there's nothing really to scheme. There's no real angle to play. If you're playing Georgia and you are of the mind, and this is a fine approach, I get it. We're about what we do. Okay. Go play Georgia and your offense is about what you do. If you're really good running the ball, let me see, like Arkansas last season. And Arkansas was. They had 3.5 running backs I really liked. And they had a quarterback who can and he'll make you pay if you overload the box. He's good enough. And they had an NFL game record at wide receiver. Folks, that Arkansas offense and an OC, it's aggressive as all get out. That wasn't fun. And what is all this based off? How do we start the entire thing at Arkansas? What do? We run the ball. And we run it this way, and we run it this way, and we go off the edge, and the quarterback keeper, and the pitch, and we do all of this stuff. That's what we do. And so we're going into Athens, and we're going to run the ball, because that's Arkansas, and that's what we are. We are determined that that's what we will do against Georgia, and it's 2nd-and-9, 3rd-and-6 all day. All day long. And if you want your quarterback getting on the bus with, like, that block G, like, impressed all over his body. Yeah, go 2nd-and-9, 3rd-and-6 all day. The only approach, all right, so if you want to go back to the sports rules now, here is your only chance. Now, I've got a caveat coming. But if you want to say, hey, what's the scheme? I don't know. If it's one, like, monster edge guy, I don't know, Josh Allen. All right, well, we're going the other way. If it is, like a guy like Albert Haynesworth, for instance, just blocking up the middle of the line. Like Nick Fairley. Do you remember Nick Fairley? He was that defense was not great. They'd give up like 67 yards on a drive, and then Nick Fairley would make a play, or Josh Bynes maybe. But Nick Fairley, it's always, all right, do we run away from him? But Nick Fairley, it didn't really work that way. Let's run right at him. Okay. We'll try it that way. Whatever. I've got something. When it's 11 guys who are all really talented and they don't have to play every snap and they're well coached, Georgia, let's see. Check, check, check. If you are insistent that scheme, and I'll come back to the bigger picture in a second. If you are insistent that scheme, there's just no way to go, and what should we do? I will give you one angle. The only approach is attempt to protect up your quarterback and take some shots. Now, next sentence. If you have legit SEC personnel, you hope to hit a couple. That was Tennessee last season. Wasn't it right off the bat? They got Bayless Jones loose, and they put up a little something. Could have been the Bama game, same thing. If you have legit SEC personnel, take some shots. See what happens. If you now, and I say that was Tennessee, because Hendon Hooker, do you know what he is? Big-time, legit SEC quarterback. I don't know about Sundays, but he's SEC. Jones, Peyton, Tillman from last year, from this season, what we expect. What are those guys? Those are some really good SEC players, all right? And so if you're Tennessee, you take some shots and you hope to hit a couple. And maybe something weird happens in the punt game and you go ahead, extrapolate all that out. And then we're in the game in the fourth quarter. That is if you are Tennessee and you have legit SEC personnel. If you have a bunch of SEC and NFL players, all right, that's Bama. And you might hit more than a couple. And that was the SEC championship game. The sobering reality is that, let's go back to Tennessee and Tennessee's the good version of almost every team's chance on the Georgia schedule, because if you're Missouri and, I don't know, Oregon maybe, I don't know what your chance is because you don't have a lot of legit SEC personnel. Do you see the five-star receiver that Missouri got in recruiting? Wow. Five-star news from Missouri. Five might have been the number one receiver in America. Mizzou, here I come. Good for them. That, maybe he'll make a play. Doesn't have enough around him, doesn't have the quarterback, I don't think. But Missouri, I don't know what your chance is when you play them. I really don't. Kentucky, you coach in such a way that you coach to be closer than most opponents but not have as much chance to win. So there's your blueprint. Have legit SEC players and some NFL players, and then try to block it up and let your guy take a shot. Part of that is understanding that losing 31-20 is no better than losing 38-10. And you have to dictate based on what the opponent is each week. And against Georgia, folks, they're, because of the depth, as outstanding as some of the individual players are, that's not the reason they're so great, man. It's because there are so many of them and they're in the right spots.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Being that intricate in detail with our work, That's the hard part, you know, really getting those reps down and down and down and down. But we're doing a great job. I mean, we're making big explosive plays, moving the ball when we need to. And once we get to where we want to, you know, hopefully that's where it gets scary.
Spence Rattler. And he is hoping to lead South Carolina. Well, I'm sure he has, if he is aware of South Carolina football history. I say he's a kid from Arizona who played at Oklahoma for a couple of years, and now he's in Columbia, South Carolina. If he is aware of Gamecocks history, as Steve Spurrier put it, quote, hadn't been so super duper, and it hasn't, but a return to the salad days of 2010, where they won, I want to say they won 10 games, and then 11, 12, and 13, they actually won 11 games each of those years. But that is what he was working for. Get us back to 10 wins. That's not possible this year, I don't believe. I can identify two teams that I would really be skeptical that they get a dub that way. But it's college football, and if you have a quarterback, you got a puncher's chance. But Spence Rattler, if you do look back at what I call the, it's, you know, are those, is that the best era of South Carolina football? My goal is to not be condescending or take a shot. There isn't much competition. I don't know of any other really extended, consistently good period. Or no, not even, I'll say, whatever better than good is. I don't know if they've ever been great. They haven't. But I don't know what any other extended period. I mean, remember, they didn't win a bowl game until maybe, I don't know, 89 or something. Maybe it only played in like three bowls into the 90s. And so if you look back at Coach Spurrier, he didn't get enough credit for this. He didn't get enough credit for what occurred there. Like, you know, the Kentucky dust-up last week, which I got to say, when we had Matt Jones on, I said one thing. I was so clear in my description of what I thought of this. That, yes, it's true, but there's a lot of true things you don't say, and you didn't help, and you got to be really responsible with this. And do you remember when Conor McGregor, who was he fighting? Was it Floyd Mayweather? And he said, you can't even read. I think it was Conor McGregor, and he said Floyd, he was making fun of Floyd Mayweather at a press conference and said, you can't even read your contract. I think it was Floyd. Dan, check that. And my point was, you only say that if you know it's not true. You know what I'm saying? You can only say something like that if you know. Like if Mark Stoops a month ago had come into SEC Media Days, oh, we're a football school. It wouldn't have been an issue because it wasn't true. John Calipari, it's true, which means you can't say it. If we look at South Carolina, they've never had another great period, I don't think. Nothing extended. But he does not get – Mark Stoops doesn't get enough credit for what's going on in Kentucky. They're good to above good consistently. And at Kentucky, that's something, folks. I just capped it at about 8.3 wins per year. I don't know, whatever the number is. That's pretty close. At Kentucky? Yeah. What Spurrier did at South Carolina? Oh, my goodness. All right, well, how did he get it done? Folks, I'm not kidding. He had better players. That's it. Now, he also, and I've said this before, it was the only time, one of the only times in my career, and I hate even using that word because, I mean, I watch sports for a living, but one of the only times in my professional life where I've looked at someone and I was like, I don't know that I have anything to say to this guy. As in anything relevant worth him even responding to. When he played, he was the best player. When he coached, he was the best coach. All right. What are you going to talk to him about? Me? So I don't think he gets nearly the credit. And for 4 years, they didn't win a national championship, didn't win an SEC. Those 4 years, they were better than any other 4 years in South Carolina history, and they were almost as good as anybody else in the SEC, and they were one of the best programs in the country. Do you know why? In addition to Steve Spurrier and he just being a really, really good coach and the staff he put together and everything else, during those, because he was head coach before that and he's head coach after that. What about those 4 years? What was it? He had better players. He had Steven Garcia, who then, for all his knucklehead stuff, it was knucklehead. And he just didn't take life seriously, which I don't know. You're a good-looking guy walking around on SEC campus as the starting quarterback. Folks, I wasn't any of that. Oh, I was walking around on SEC campus. I wasn't anything else I just said, and I had a blast and did knucklehead stuff. Steven Garcia had the sweet beard going, all of that stuff. And then handed off to Connor Shaw the next couple of seasons. They had Marcus Lattimore. They had Stephon Gilmore. They had Alshon Jeffrey. They had the littlest Gamecock of all, Ace Sanders. Folks, they had ball players. They had really good ball players. Devonta Holloman. Do y'all remember him? Devonta Holloman, another defensive back there. Wow, what a good ball player. Started, I don't know, 3 years? Did he start 4 years? They were deep and talented and diverse and well-coached, and that's why they won. It is that simple. Spence Rattler, do you know what he is? He's the most talented quarterback in the history of that program, which means most Saturdays you have even more of a shot. So, bully for Shane Beamer. Dan, how are you today?
Steven Garcia doesn't seem to have a lot of concerns in life. Must be nice.
Yeah, he, like I said, and I don't know. I don't want to sound like the principal and Uncle Buck, but, I mean, he did not take life seriously, young man.
Yeah, I'm not going to flip a quarter at you and
Thank
tell you.
You
to go to downtown Chicago and find you one. No, but what I will say is Kirby Smart has been trying to find him some good wide receivers, and I think that this could be a proving ground season for him in this regard. I talked about this a little bit earlier on in the offseason that one of the worst things that can happen to Kirby Smart this year is if Jermaine Burton goes to Alabama and has 60, 70-plus catches this year, because then it is immediately a negative recruiting tool against you by that coaching staff of saying, why would you go play for him and catch 30, 40 balls a year? You come here, and if you're the guy, you're going to catch 60 or 70 balls a year. And I understand that also, too, the Georgia fan response would be like, oh, okay, well, what about Jameson Williams? Jameson Williams left Ohio State because he couldn't get that many catches. You think that he was going to get that many catches, Chuck, over Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jackson Smith, and Jigba? Probably not. So then he made a business decision, and the business decision paid off. Now, Kirby has a chance to turn it around, and I guarantee you, in-stepping Brian McClendon is exactly that charge. As he told him when he got here, he said, find me guys that can make plays on the outside and let's transform our offense that way. Brian McClendon, an outstanding recruiter, and I guarantee you that's his charge. He has overhauled the offensive line. He's overhauled the defensive line. Linebackers, same deal. Now his newest charge, wide receiver.
Yeah, and get him to have their production on the same level as their skill, their talent, their advanced billing as well. I always say that I need, at some point, all the context is gone, and I need to see some numbers, some production that equals the talent. That really hadn't happened there yet.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
It's widgets, folks. It happens to be college football right now, but it's widgets. Tuesday on the Chuck Oliver Show, hour one means it's a Bar Tuesday, and he is CFB Matrix. He is way out yonder west. It is Dave Bartu. Welcome, brother. How are you today?
Dude, I am doing good. I'm doing good. It's a nice, beautiful morning out here in Oregon. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, and tell everybody specifically what it is you do, who you work with, how to get in touch, all of it, man.
Tell stories with numbers, right? It's never going to change that way, and that's all we do. So, you know, we get a data set, whether it's for a head coach, assistant coach, player personnel, parents, agents, ADs, you name it. If it has something to do with college football and we have numbers on it, which we typically do, we try to help folks.
All right, let's talk about something that you and I think we have the same view of it, but I call it a nice curiosity for August, but it has no value in the least. We have coaches' polls coming out. We have media polls coming out. Again, I call it a curiosity. What do you look at AP, et cetera, when the polls come out? Is it anything other than just a collection of numbers with very limited value, or does it even have limited value to you?
It creates what we're doing right now. We're talking about it, right? I mean, that's really what it is for. It is designed to create a conversation. It's designed for, you know, teams, whether it's in conference or non-conference, to get fans to engage and start arguing about it. You know, does it have any meaning other than emotional status? No, it doesn't. It doesn't affect the playoffs. It doesn't affect anything at all in the end, but it gets us talking about college football. It gets us excited for what's coming up next. And, you know, personally, my favorite part of it is who's going to be in that's not, and who's going to be out that's in. That's my favorite part of trying to guess that whole ranking entertainment kind of thing that we're starting right now.
Well, let's jump onto the field. And, you know, I've said it's widgets. The reason I brought up widgets is because specifically you've decided that people, players, coaches, et cetera, maybe even athletic directors, whoever, boosters, if it's people movement, that is, quote, not to devalue, but just that's the unit. That's the, you know, quote, the commodity that you talk about. But it could be anything. And like I said, you've worked with boosters and border regents, et cetera. I saw that Florida football opened a brand new joint, football-only facility, football training center, and it's got nutrition science and locker rooms and everything, and it looks fantastic, and they spent like $85 million on it, and so you can see where they spent the money. It's still a nice little sum there. I have seen recently some programs, Ole Miss in particular, put the pause on spending on facilities and are rethinking all of it, like where is the best way to spend our money to bottom line get better players into the program? Is it, hey, look, we feed you on weekends and here's the mess hall that you'll be in, here is your new locker room, or is it maybe more business oriented with name, image, likeness? Do you have any sort of drill down on that?
No, I really don't, you know, because everybody looks, I think it really comes down to the athletic director and the boosters and the direction they want to go with it. You know, it combined, if they feel, hey, we don't want to spend our money to keep up in certain spots, then they won't. You know, some programs, I think it depends on where you are in the pecking order of SEC football as well, right? I mean, if you're a bottom half recruiter for the last 20 years in SEC football, guess where you're going to be in the next 20 years? Bottom half recruiter. You know, so while there's a ton of money being made, do you dump all of it into a football program hoping to go 6-6? Or do you become really good and build up other parts of it? You know, look at Mississippi State in baseball. Look at all the money they've poured into the baseball side of it. Same thing with Ole Miss, you know, and back-to-back national championships in that state. So it's the money's got to go somewhere, because I think there's technically nonprofit, so yeah. It allows them to, they got to spend it all. The whole budget has got to go. But where it goes, do they want to keep up with Florida in the arms race, or do they want to partially keep up but dump more money into other sports?
That is actually something I've talked about with Vanderbilt, and I've used them as an example that, you know, a national championship, it's not going to be like a football championship in the South or the Deep South or, you know, however far you want to go, but winning a national championship, winning the College World Series, gymnastics, equestrian, swimming and diving, track and, I don't know, Arkansas makes a living with track and field national championships. And it's a heck of a lot cheaper to do that with a sport that I think you have like 11.7 scholarships and two full-time assistants in baseball, for instance. Have you done any sort of drill down on the cost involved to reach various levels of success in different varsity sports?
No, I haven't. I got nothing there. That is a, you know, maybe one day that will be a topic, you know, where an AD calls and says, hey, I'm thinking about this. How should we attack it? How do we collect data to see where our money is best spent? You know, because a lot of times money is spent emotionally in these athletic departments instead of, well, from my standpoint, empirically. So I think that's probably a question that I would assume somebody out there is trying to figure out. We're not going to be great at football, so what's the best bang for our buck to spread all this money out?
And say, look, we are competing. We are trying. In football, though, because, you know, that's the end of the rainbow financially. You know, that's one of the points that I made with Kentucky last week. I was like, yeah, it's true, but you just can't say it, John. They, you know, football school, whatever, because whatever you think about Kentucky football, they pay the freight, man. They pay the bills at that school for so many other things. You know, Kroger paid them, whatever, $12 million to put their name on the football field, not the basketball court. And so there has to be a way to put that money to use, and there are other sports that you can do it at.
Mm-hmm.
Still be taken seriously.
And that was one of the first feedbacks I got from one of the SEC ADs. Was exactly what I'm talking about. This really isn't even my opinion so much as what I have gleaned from the guys I work with. Yeah. And so, I mean, that was it. It's like, you know, Dave, we're not going to win 9, 10, 11, 12 games. We're not going to be a top 25 team. We're not competing for a playoff spot. Maybe once in a blue moon we catch lightning in a bottle. It's like, but we can take all of that money and be ahead of 90% of the rest of the country in all sorts of other sports.
Last thing before we break and we come back, we'll jump onto the sidelines and talk about coaches, current, you know, head coaches, assistants, coordinators, et cetera. Minnesota maybe was sort of at the leading edge of this, UAB. I don't know. Have you and I discussed, I think it's Snapdragon Stadium down in San Diego?
No, we haven't talked about it.
And, you know, Colorado State, have you ever looked to, I don't know, Google image Colorado State's football stadium? They opened, they got a brewery as the sponsor, and it's gorgeous. There has a trend over the last 10 years or so, 12 years, schools building new football stadiums. Do it all the time. Every 20, 25 years in the NFL, nobody ever, ever, ever did it in football. Memphis would play in the Liberty Bowl until the bricks fell apart. And now you have UCF saying, yeah, we're going to build on campus. UAB's like, yeah, we're going to have a football stadium. South Alabama, yeah, we're not playing at Ladd Peebles in downtown Mobile. We're playing on campus. That is an interesting, I don't want to say phenomena, but like I looked at San Diego State's new joint. Brother, they did it right. They spent $300 million in Southern California construction cost, and they got like a 40,000-seat stadium. I love this new trend.
Oh, it's gorgeous. I was lucky enough to be down at UNLV recently, and you would not believe this is a 2-10 team with difficulty winning games and getting players into that program. Everything feels brand new down there. Smells like a brand new car. It is phenomenal. And so I'm figuring that, you know, whatever UNLV has, the San Diego States, the Colorado States, and so forth, this is being built everywhere, and it's great. I think it's great for the sport. I think it's great for, you know, the kids to have more options. I'm not one that really believes that if Chuck goes to Florida, Florida State, UCF, or South Florida, that you're going to be a better NFL prospect depending on where you go. Because, look, you can get bad coaching anywhere. You can get good coaching anywhere. And the genetics you're born with, you got. So seeing all these upgrades everywhere to try to pull some better kids in there and give them more options, I think it's fantastic for college football.
Dave Bartu. All right, that's some of the widgets. That's fundraising. That's stadiums. That's all kinds of stuff. We're going to come back. We're going to talk coaches and movement and everything else for this coming season. That's next on the Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
College football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Rolling through Tuesday, hour one, Chuck Oliver Show means we're talking with my man Dave Bartu. He is CFB Matrix, and the main gist, we talk widgets to start, but the main gist is it's his people movement, and it's could be players, could be coaches, could be anybody. Football ops individuals, but we talk mostly coaches because, honestly, I don't even know the list of ADs to ask him about. I know like 10. I want to welcome him back on. And, Dave, tell everybody two things. First of all, if anyone, whether you said you've had a current SEC head coach, you've said you had fans. Anybody wants to get in touch with you, give them that text line.
Oh, the text line, 971-217-8419. I've bet you probably close to 100 of your listeners that have texted in and had questions, ideas, even just comments, and all of them are great. So I love your listener base. I love college football fans. And, well, it's even like doing this show all the time. Just can't get enough talking about it.
And final thing, creaky shoulders, old folks like Mike Singletary, Merrill Hodge, also maybe somebody listening in Huntsville, Alabama. Where do they go if they want some product relief?
They go for hempforpros.com. They just came out with a new product that they developed in conjunction with a professional golfer and professional tennis player. It's if you go to the website, hempforpros.com, go find some warming gel. It is absolutely fantastic on those aches and pains that you're talking about, inflammation, swelling, arthritis, hempforpros.com. And if you want 20% off, CFB Matrix, that is your coupon code.
You know, I've talked about it. And bottom line is this is big boy sports. You either win or you don't. But there also is additional information you can grab by, you know, the details of what happened. Georgia Tech finished last season. They lost their final two games 100-0. And I don't care who the opponents were. It literally was 100-0. If we look at the flip side of that, Nebraska, and again, they didn't win. But I think the number is they had eight. They lost eight games last year by one score. How do you figure that in? Because you still, that tells me you can't win close games. Maybe you don't have leadership. Maybe you have a bad call every week at the right time. Maybe you're just a little shy. Maybe you're overachieving to be that close every week. I don't know what that means, but I usually just make it easy and say, well, you didn't find a way to win and the other guy did. What do you think about Scott Frost, Nebraska, close losses, new quarterback, all of this?
Oh, close losses are brutal, man. Sometimes the numbers, you look at it, look, that Nebraska defense last year was top 30 in scoring efficiency. The offense, and they cleaned house on the offense, was 57th in scoring efficiency. Combined, that team was 49th in the country in total team scoring efficiency and was what, 4-8, 3-9?
Yeah.
It was an anomaly beyond an anomaly. And on the flip side, you look at Northern Illinois, they were 89th in total team scoring efficiency and won the damn conference. So sometimes the ball just bounces your way. And specifically with Nebraska, when you are losing on breaks like that, it's usually little things. Okay, it's penalties, it's bad special teams. If you go through, they have probably lost six to maybe 10 games on a bad special teams play in the last 4 years at Nebraska.
Oh, my gosh.
Just special teams alone.
That's fixable.
Now, so that's a big deal right there. And they've had really bad fumble luck. Nebraska has had negative turnover margin for six straight years. There is not another team in college football that has done it more than 3 years in a row.
That's like playing roulette and it goes red 80% of the time. That never...
Yeah. Last year was a lot of bad luck. They've upgraded some spots, though. That whole offensive coaching staff, I know everything about all the guys they brought in and everybody they interviewed. So, hopefully they've turned a corner trying to solve some problems, specifically special teams. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for no special teams errors this year out of Nebraska.
Let's stay out there real quick, at least in that region. Iowa State. I've paid attention to college football like really closely for like 40 plus years, and that's the most talented Cyclones team, brother, I've ever seen last season. They had returning like studs, production everywhere. 7-6. Tell me either why or a revised, updated opinion of Matt Campbell, because he was turning down NFL jobs.
I don't have a revised opinion because I really like that whole staff. I mean, yeah, there's always room for upgrades, but that's one staff where if you got Matt Campbell, you just say bring everybody. It is an absolute fantastic defensive offensive coordinator combination. Heacock and Manning are their career grades are excellent. But at Iowa State, you're just capped on the talent. You know, and even when you got everybody coming back, and even when you have an NFL quarterback and an NFL running back, it's still really hard to make inroads because there's 24, you know, 24 guys on a, you know, that start for football. So, you know, the outlook hasn't changed. It is still a bottom three recruiter in the Big 12 with an excellent coaching staff. They're a danger every week because of the coaching, but betting on them to win a conference or a division or something like that is just really hard to do because it just takes so much putting it all together and everybody else kind of being weak. And in the Big 12, there's not a lot of weaknesses. There's not a lot of great recruiters. I mean, you got Texas and Oklahoma. And even when it switches around, you're going to lose those. So it's really going to become a high-level coaching conference. The coaching in that conference is very, very good. You put Iowa State, let's say, in the Pac-12 with that kind of coaching and that kind of talent, they're going to win more football games because the coaching's a little bit weaker. But, you know, Iowa State, talent's capped, coaching's real good. But I feel for Iowa State fan, a passionate bunch, when Campbell and his crew leave,
vacuum.
Man, that is going to be tough to replace.
All right. Funny that you kind of took that conversation where you did because, I was just talking about how long I watched college football. I think I was like 10 or 11, and I remember watching Warren Moon play in the Rose Bowl. And because I was only 10 or 11, I only knew that Georgia and Bama were really good. And I was like, Washington, they're no good. Well, no, Washington was a fine program. But I'm used to a certain level of Pac-8, Pac-10, now Pac-12 excellence. That program, they even after, like, if they had an individual car crash season, it was explainable. I don't know where that program is right now, and that had always been a standard barrier for like professionalism and everything. I don't know what that program is.
Well, I mean, what were they last year? I'm trying to remember what it crashed to.
Yeah, they were trying to recover. They went 4-8. They were trying to recover from the whole Jimmy Lake thing, man.
Right. Now the Jimmy Lake thing, on paper we saw that coming. That was one of the, if there was a crown jewel last year to see a program coming to an absolute halt, it was that one. And the reason being is the two guys he tried to hire. Okay, this is where the coaching part, this is one of the segments of a head coach, his job is to be able to build a good staff.
He hired Jimmy the guy Lake, from Penn State, didn't
right.
the OC?
Right. Okay. So Jimmy, this is how bad. So he hired a guy from Penn State, former guy from Penn State, a career grade in the bottom 35% of all offensive coordinators since 2010. So you got over 600 offensive coordinators to choose from that have called plays in the last, you know, 12 years and you get one of the bottom 30% guys. He literally hired the and brought in the worst offensive coordinator in the Pac-12 last year. So that was the first red flag. Then I found out, because he needed a defensive coordinator, he offered the job to an NFL defensive line coach that had never called plays before. You have that brand, you're a top 25 recruiter, you have that money, you have a top 20 athletic budget.
That's coaching malpractice.
So I found out that he offered that job to this guy. And that coupled with hiring Donovan, former offensive coordinator that nobody else wanted, that was red flags everywhere. This is an absolute disaster. And then when they lost that game to
Montana.
Was it Montana? Montana or Montana
State?
And didn't
score.
I don't know which one it was.
And didn't score.
That right there, yeah, that was the end of it. And I even bet an – funny, we were transitioning from Iowa State. I bet an Iowa State fan a hat. That was the bet. Iowa State hat if they don't go to a bowl. And all the numbers said this team was going to crash below 500, and bang, there it was. So, but with Washington, you're still talking about a top 25 recruiter. You're still talking about a really good program. The recruiting wasn't terrible. The coaching was. So this is still a middle-of-the-road program, well above average. I think the thing to focus on for Washington this year, they have an excellent offensive coordinator. Last guy, Coach Grubb, is really good. So I think with Washington, if you're a Husky fan or you're looking to bet Washington or anything like that, I think it's going to be an offensive-focused program right now. That's what's going to get going first. The defense will catch up, but it's still a threat in the Pac-12. It's a top four recruiter. The coaching staff is above average on the whole. They got a really good offensive coordinator. It'll take a year or two to expunge all the stuff that Lake produced, but I don't think they're going to fall very far.
Yeah, Dave, I think even the past 2 years have made me value permanence and, you know, things I recognize even more, and I need Washington to be good. So appreciate the insight as always, brother. Do it again in 7 days.
Thank you, Chuck. You have a good one.
Dave Bartui is College Football Matrix. You can get him on Twitter as such, at CFB Matrix. And yeah, there are certain things you're used to, and I don't know, if you learn for 43 years that the UW Huskies are pretty good, well, by golly, I need them to be pretty good.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.